My brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. A 19-year-old who was homeless and living in Hawaii describes the night that his entire life changed. He had just finished working for the night at one of the Bubba Gump chain restaurants on the island and was waiting for two of his friends to finish up when the stranger came up to him and said, "What are you doing tonight?" The young man responded, "I don't know." So the stranger said, "Will you fornicate tonight?" To which the guy answered, "I hope so." "And drugs and drinking?" the stranger asked. To which the kid said, "Most likely, yeah. Probably all three of those things. I mean, at least two of them, possibly all three." At that, the stranger said, "I stopped because Jesus told me to come and talk to you. He said to tell you that you are destined for great things." The young man said that his two friends then came out and he just said to them, "I'm going with this guy." And 2 days later, he dedicated his life to Jesus. It's not exactly the story we expect to hear from someone in Hollywood. Yet that's how Chris Pratt, best known for his roles in the TV show Parks and Rec and movies like Guardians of the Galaxy, tells it. Pratt's sharing of his conversion story to Christianity was part of a profile in an article that I found in the doctor's office waiting room in Esquire magazine. But then I remember this line that really kind of bothered me, and it sort of ruined part of the whole piece for me. When the writer talked about how it was a few weeks after this encounter, after he had this conversion, that Pratt met this director, and the writer asked, "Perhaps this was divine intervention." Now, I don't know Chris Pratt, so I can't ask or don't know how he felt about that observation, but I'll go on a limb and say Jesus was not that interested in Chris Pratt getting an acting job. I'm certain that Jesus was worried about a young man living on the streets. Jesus was worried about a man living a life of sin, and not in the least even a bit troubled about it or thinking that there was anything he could do about it. Jesus was worried about the fact that this kid's life could be tragically cut short here on earth before he had ever even considered or wondered or even longed for a better life here and now. And even more importantly, an eternal life with him. Jesus was worried about that for Chris Pratt. And he's worried about that for each in every soul that has ever walked, is walking, and will walk on this earth. Because that is what the heart of this gospel passage that we just heard about with this encounter with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader of the Jewish nation who was this well-versed person involved in knowing all the intricacies of the Old Testament and was respected by his fellow Jews. He was a mover and shaker in the society of Jesus' time. And he has no earthly reason to associate with Jesus. Jesus has been labeled a troublemaker by both the Roman and Jewish authorities for very different reasons. And it's obvious that Nicodemus is not coming in any official capacity because he comes in private to meet Jesus at night. He's heard things about him. He might have even heard Jesus speak. Right before this passage was last Sunday's gospel, when Jesus made quite a scene as he furiously cleared out the temple, the money changers, and called people out for defiling his father's house. That was enough to unsettle the Roman and the Jewish leaders. So Nicodemus, perhaps going out of curiosity, maybe wanted to keep the peace in this delicate balance between all those competing forces, enters into this dialogue with Jesus. And that's what we've joined into mid-conversation in this gospel passage. And these verses are some of the most beloved of all to Christians, where Jesus basically spells out his whole purpose for being here in one verse. In fact, it's the most famous of scriptures, where you will see people at sporting events with signs saying John 3:16, hoping that people will look up and read what we just heard proclaimed. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. These words pierced Nicodemus's mind as a scholar and his heart as a Jew who longed to know and understand God. They resonated as he continued to hear Jesus preach and heal and offer forgiveness of sins. And what was dawning on Nicodemus was the centuries upon centuries of God's people constantly falling out of relationship with God whenever they sinned, whenever they broke the covenant. The litany of messengers and prophets who had spoken God's word to his people to mixed results. All that was a prologue to this moment when God himself would enter into the human history, human experience, and reorder everything. It was no longer a story about humanity's search for God, but rather God's search for every man and woman, with a desire to restore them and to make them his beloved sons and daughters too. That's the heart of this gospel message. That's the heart of God himself, to save us. Too often, we forget that we need saving. Or worse, we tell ourselves lies like we can save ourselves. And both of those things are these massive pitfalls that not only blind so many people from ever engaging God themselves, but can also distort the reason why we as Catholic Christians find ourselves here at Mass. The gospel means confronting humanity with the reality that we're sinners, that we're prone to sinning, that we know often the right things to do and we choose not to do them. We feel that tension deep within, knowing the choices and the decisions and the life I'm living isn't what I was made for, and it isn't fulfilling. And then sometimes we can even fall for more lies from the devil, tempting us to keep repeating the same things over and over, expecting a different result, seducing us with other gods and idols that constantly distort our desires and wants, and promising us that joy, that peace, that love that every human heart and soul longs for, but will never find in those places. The good news that causes us to rejoice on this fourth Sunday of Lent, so much so that we break out the rose-colored vestments, is not that we're over halfway through this penitential season and it's almost over, but rather that we still have time. This gospel is meant to stop us in our tracks and ask us, what are we doing? Where are we going? That we're here already puts us at an advantage that hopefully we don't need some stranger to come upon us and first introduce us to Jesus and call us to some radical change of life. But more than likely, all of us are in need of renewal. A renewal that comes from repenting of the things that are not of God. And to recognize the love that drives Jesus to come looking for us and allowing ourselves to be found. To embrace him. To recommit ourselves to him. And we can do that by first making a good examination of conscience and a good confession this Lent. We're each invited to experience a divine intervention, which isn't meant to lead us to a famous acting job or any of the worldly pursuits that we think are so important, but something far more important. A life that's completely identified by the love of Jesus Christ here and now and for all eternity. God so loved the world that he promises us more than the world could ever imagine. Will we hear and accept his offer?